If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, we are back on the Love Inside podcast, and this is our Love Triangle episode. G, we are going to catch up with your close friend and former roommate from the facility. No,
she was not a roommate.
She wasn't?
No, she was just, we were each other's confidants.
Okay, your confidant. Mm-hmm. So you were roommates with the other Lauren.
The other Lauren.
Gotcha. Yes. So this Lauren is best known as LC.
Yes.
As part of the Barnett Love Triangle. Mm-hmm. She's going to check in here in just a minute. But before we bring her on, how did it end up being a love triangle and not a love square, with you being one of the corners? Because you were interested in Barnett way early, right?
Yeah. So he was my first date out of the whole experience. So I kind of felt like, oh my God, like he was so cool and it was such an easy chat and he has a sexy voice. So I was like, okay, it's Barnett. But then I quickly kind of saw straight through him.
How quickly? Second date?
Like second date. Yeah. I was like, you know what? He has a lot of growing up to do. And not even by hearing what the other girls were saying, I just kind of picked up on it, where I was like, I need more of like a man. And he sounds like he has more of a journey ahead of him.
Sounded more like a frat guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it seemed like that's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, he was still in that sort of party mode.
Yeah. So I couldn't get a serious conversation out of him. I tried to just kind of get more into, hey, like, what makes you you? And he would always like throw a joke back at me. And then that's when I was like, let's talk about why you can't have a serious conversation. And I think that's when he started kind of pulling away from me and being like,
not ready to do that.
And same here. So I was like, okay, like we're just not in each other's vibe. So I pulled away from him pretty quickly.
So you mentioned LC is, you know, you were her confidant. Maybe she was yours as well. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised when she was like, I'm having serious conversations with this guy. I really like him.
No, because, you know, we all have our own personalities. And me and LC and me and Amber, I saw myself in a lot in both of them. Amber's like 100% feisty. And so I saw my feistiness in there. And I saw, you know, my sweet, shy side and LC. So I really just kind of related to them on both levels. And so when I saw that they were both into him, I was like, this makes sense in a weird way. But, you know, if I was, I can totally see why they were. And, you know, different people are able to pull different sides of each other. So I was like, okay, good for you that you two are able to have serious conversations with him. And then they would come back and say, like, you know, like he likes both of us. Like, what do we do? And I was like, you need to tell him to grow a pair. Like, now, on your next date, you both have to go in there and tell him, hey, this is what I want. This is what I want in a relationship. What are your thoughts or what do you feel? Because he's not giving either of you a straight answer. So I was pretty much the one telling him, like, go in there and demand this out of him. And I don't know how much influence I had, but I saw straight through him in that sense. And it was like, this is what he needs. And I would kind of yell over the wall, like, Barnett, open up. Like, I would literally yell.
What do you mean yell?
I would yell in the facility.
Oh, hoping that he could hear you?
Yeah, cause on the other side of the wall.
Could you hear through the wall a little bit?
I mean, if you yell like super loud. So sometimes I would like literally yell at the top of my lungs because I was so frustrated with him because my friends were in pain because of what he was going through.
I don't want to say bad guy, but do you think maybe like, you know, it's not a game. I know it's not a game either, but it certainly seems like he really led a couple people on way far down, maybe further than they should have had to go.
And, you know, I think that's a form of self-validation of like, hey, like, am I worthy of love? And so you kind of want to gather as much of that as you can. And, you know, if you're hurting other people in the process, like you don't know, / you don't really care because you want to fill in that void however you can. And I think that's what he was trying to do.
How bad was it? You know, we got to see a little bit of a glimpse of it. I don't want to like bring LC too down when we bring her on. But like, was it, you know, bad, huh?
It was really bad just because it matters of the heart hit different. And to me, LC might say that, you know, the way that she was rejected was because it was her soul, her every bit of her that makes her without, you know, having to see your face or hair color. And that is a completely different layer that you unveil when someone is rejecting you. But it's because they're rejecting this piece of you that is so intimate. And it's like you're literally your heart in the palm of your hands and someone's just slapping it out of you and saying, I don't want it. And so that's where it was just like this really hard thing to watch. But also I felt like, you know, babe, if it's not for you, like it's not for you. And go on and find someone else that will worthy that part of you.
Did you have, like, if you were to handicap it, did you feel like, oh, he's more of an Amber guy or he's more of an LC guy? Like, did you have a vibe either way?
100% an Amber guy. And because Amber is that woman that's able to put Barnett in his place and also be goofy with him and be silly with him. I think LC would have had a hard time telling him, hey, like, this isn't okay with me, even though she would have. I think he took what Amber said a little bit heavier because he did say she scares the shit out of
right.
me, you know. So he had that kind of like, he was putting her up in that level of like, I better listen to her or she's gonna kick my ass. And I think right. that's what he needed.
Did LC share anything with you about anybody else? Like, were you trying to be, since you believed that mm-hmm. and you saw how far she was falling, how hard she was falling for Barnett, did you try to steer her into a different direction? Were there any other guys that she was interested in that you were like, eh, yeah, maybe go this way, that might be a good thing for you, LC?
Well, I never told anyone what they should do.
But if they asked your advice, like, did she ever come to you and say, hey, what do you think? This is what I'm in right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell her, I'd be like, you better put him in his place and you better, you know, get
but I mean,
it
other guys
him.
That she might have been into.
No, because she was really into Barnett. And if I tried to, I didn't want to impose on other relationships. Like, I was never like, oh, like, go for Kenny, when I knew that Kenny and Kelly were together. Like, oh, go for that. It's just, this is who you're pining over and this is who you need to talk about. So this is who we're going to focus
on. So she was Barnett all the way.
She was Barnett. Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Well, let's bring her
Barnett
on.
Barnett or bust.
Barnett. Oh, B-O-B. We will bring on LC next.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try NYX. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to NYX. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
All right, G, joining us now as we continue our tour of Love is Blind experiment participants, it is time to bring in LC, one point of a triangle that we are going to get to. LC, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. We will get to all that. We like to start out kind of with the same question for everyone, though, and that is, how did you come to find yourself on Love is Blind, and why did you agree to do the show?
I had a friend who had, I guess, met someone in casting, and she just kind of gave them my name because I had been trying to drag her to an open call for The Bachelor, and she didn't want to do it, but she ended up kind of going through the casting process for this too, but didn't get on the show, but yeah, I mean, she really kind of just gave them my name without even telling me. So
nice.
They called me and I was like, what is happening right now? and then just kind of went with it. You know, I've kind of just figured, why not?
Well, I'm super happy that she gave you your name because then I wouldn't have had you there.
Oh my gosh, I know.
So we went through so much.
Speak to it. What did you go through?
I think we were both, I think we were both just like these like little emotional, like, like soul sisters. Just like, what do you think? Well, what do you think? I don't know. Like, I don't feel like he's going to like me. Well, I don't think he's going to like me either. And I think we were just like very in tune with one another. And then when everything with Barnett was kind of going down, I think I was able to just kind of help you through that. I don't know if I'd actually helped you, but I felt like helping you vent at least.
I'm so thankful for G because I am not typically a super emotional person, and I don't just like sit around and talk about boys and stuff, and like not for very long, if anything. And I didn't really realize that about myself until I got thrown into this world where that's like all we were there to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like having a really hard time with just processing everything. And G was really good to talk to and just either just to like listen to me like blab on and like cry about whatever was happening. But she was also, I feel like, pretty good at like putting things into words that I was feeling and relating to me and stuff. So it was just, it was a lot. And I'm really thankful for people. I mean, all the girls really, but I know specifically I had a lot of good talks with G. So.
What when you mentioned the open calls and stuff, so like what percentage of you was just kind of getting on getting into this experiment and getting on Love is Blind, and what percentage was, hey, I'm gonna meet someone and maybe find my soulmate?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anyone you talk to that goes on anything like this, they're pretty much kind of open to both. Like, obviously I'm intrigued by the whole process in general, just to kind of be able to see behind the scenes kind of how everything worked and all that. But I mean, I would not have gone on the show if I was not open to that experience. Obviously, I did open up to that experience as much as I think I could have at the time, at least. And then, you know, I was ready to do that next step, and it just didn't work out. But I think I realized once I got there too that I was way more into it than I thought I was going to be. I don't think any of us could really even prepare mentally for anything like that to happen. So it was pretty cool to see.
When did you start like developing feelings for the guys on the other side?
I hate to say this because I feel like I sound like a psycho, but day one. I mean, honestly, the first dates, like from the very first dates, it was pretty overwhelming talking to that many people. But from day one, like I had the same, like Barnett and Kenny were the ones that stood out for me the most, and they were the ones that I ended up going through most of that whole process with. So Yeah. I mean, I pretty much didn't change, which I should have been more open to it, but that's kind of for me from the jump, like that's how I felt. But
who, I ask everybody this, and for some reason you don't like giving me answers, but I feel like Elsie's going to do it. Who was, who was number 15?
John.
See, everybody says John. Yeah, John was a real a-hole, yeah. Man.
I said the same thing.
Everybody said that you, like, you try to stay away. You're like, I don't want to say I feel bad, but I knew LC just comes straight with. No, it's John.
I have no qualms about that. I will take that.
I would love to say poor John, but no, it sounds like just a bad guy. What about you? You mentioned Kenny. We didn't get to see a whole lot of that. So how far along did you get with Kenny? Was it like 1 and 1A?
I mean, we narrowed down everything like every day. And so we were able to like spend more time with people that we were actually connecting with. But I was down to the last kind of few people with Kenny. My top kind of three people ended up being Barnett, Kenny, and Rory, who is the quote unquote plant or whatever.
The plant.
Yeah, he's a plant. but Rory mostly was like a friendship thing where he just was really good at like talking me through stuff. And like I would help him with what he was going through or try to. And then he would like definitely help me with what I was going through. So like I really wanted him there with me and like my top, like it was like Rory and Barnett and, you know, kind of down to the wire there for me. So Rory was able to just kind of talk me through a lot of stuff, which was good. So.
What about Kenny? Did you have like an emotional attraction to Kenny?
Yeah, definitely. I realized through the show that I have a voice type, as it seems.
Oh.
Because I feel like Barnett and Kenny have very similar voices, but like the deeper, southern. A little bit southern, but not too much kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have a type with that.
Are you starting to go on dates and being like, hold on, let me close my eyes?
No, seriously, like, no, I'm not kidding. When I go on dates now in the real world here, like from a dating app or something, like I'm actually really nervous about what their voice is going to sound like.
That's so funny. That's
your number one characteristic. You got to have a deep, little bit of a southern drawl kind of voice for me to be into you.
Put that on your profile.
I had no idea.
So when you're into Kenny, are you and Kelly having any conversations? Is there any weird stuff going on there?
Nothing ever got like, no, like drama or anything. I wish I could be more interesting on that front for you, but, no, like Kelly would talk to me a little bit about it. I kind of had just kind of have a conversation with her, after a few days of it, just being like, yeah, I don't really, you know, I'm kind of getting to the point now where I don't really want to hear about that with you. Like, I'm really happy for it. I'll hear about anything else, like any other guys. I just not really about, because it's like it throws you off, you know. You start comparing yourself to things, and I feel like the good thing about this experiment is that you couldn't really compare yourself, your relationship, to other people.
No.
And I didn't want that to like throw it off for me, which I don't know, I feel like it might have actually, at least with the Kenny stuff, but maybe like maybe lean more in towards Barnett. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, there was never any like weirdness though with Kelly. Like, I love her. So,
well, I was gonna say, like you said, I wish I could be more interesting, but I think everyone would beg to differ. You're definitely
it's coming.
Interesting's
coming
on that front. Did you know that, you know, you were in a triangle? Because I knew that you and Amber would talk it out, but I didn't know that Jessica was also in that mix until I watched the show.
Nope.
Right.
We did not know that. I knew, like, honestly, I feel like Jess was, now looking back, I think she was pretty quiet about everything that kind of happened, which was probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. I didn't really know that. And honestly, Barnett didn't really say anything about it either. Like, I knew Barnett would talk about Amber a little bit, not like that, but, you know, he would mention that's who the other person was. And he was telling Amber about, you know, that I'm the other person kind of, but we didn't really know much about Jess. And truthfully, like, not to like talk, I'm not trying to like talk down about myself or Amber or anything, but I was just like, Jessica is leagues out of his league. Like, she's way out of his league. Like, she's like, at the time, at least, that's what I was thinking. Like, she's like so much cooler and smarter than going for a guy like Barnett, which I should have listened to myself, but I was like 26, you know, at the time. Like, those are definitely the kind of guys I was going for. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. I was like thrown off. I was like, there's no way that that Justin Barnett thing, I would never be. That's not a thing. She's too smart for that.
So this is another like another chapter of the Jess story, because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you feel it as well. I mean, as just someone who watched the show, she's the least likable person, you know, kind of in the girls' facility.
So
like, what did we get wrong? Like, what did we not figure out?
I honestly, like, going through that experience, I never thought that she'd be the least likable person. Like, I never. Like, that didn't anything ever come across to me as that. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you which girl I would have maybe thought that about. But, like, because I feel like everyone was pretty, we were all pretty good and got along and whatever. But I obviously didn't see anything that went down in the pods, like other people's dates. So I guess that had a lot to do with it. But, yeah, it sucks, though. No one wants to be the villain. Like, I don't really think that she was a villain, I guess. It's just kind of...
I thought she was very honest.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, I feel like if anything, she was just speaking her truth, I guess, yeah. You know? And it'll resonate with some people, and I guess a lot of people it didn't. And I don't know, that it sucks.
I mean, because have you ever been in that position before where you're like, oh, I really want him to like me, but he also has this girlfriend, and then you're, you know, I think everyone has been in that position at some point in their life, so it's just kind of like, give it a break.
100%. Like, 100%. Yes, absolutely. Like, there's a lot of good guys that I really, like Rory, for example. You didn't really see this, but I had a whole breakdown with Rory in the pods because I was like, why can't I just like guys like Rory? Like, he's just like nice and cares and like, you know, and just, I was like, I had like a whole thing about it. I was like, I don't know why I can't go for people like this. And it was just essentially kind of what Jess was going through too. Mm-hmm. Hers just got dragged out.
I guess that then, you know, because Barnett comes off pretty good in that, I think, because he's just kind of a little goofy. You know, he seems likable, but it seems like, no, not really. I mean, for especially, you know, in your case, how far along you got, do you think that changed? Like, the way, I guess what I'm trying to get at, did he do things differently than everybody else? Was he maybe trying to lead you down a path of, hey, this is going to end up with us getting engaged compared to what the other guys were doing, just kind of sharing themselves with you?
What do you mean? Like, did he talk about it more?
Yeah,
like,
did Barnett talk about, hey, when we're engaged, or we're going to be married, or, you know, we're going to live together, or we're going to have kids? Like, was he doing maybe more of that?
No, honestly, I think Kenny did it more than Barnett did.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. At least in my conversations with him and what I've heard from Kelly's conversations, I feel like that's kind of what they were doing too. Like, I think that he was doing it just the same way as everybody else was. You just didn't get to see a lot of that. But I mean, Barnett, obviously, like, I was, you know, clearly upset about it and hurt the whole, like, for a while there. But I mean, we're good now. We're friends. Like, we've talked it out, whatever. And like, I love Amber and all that, but it's like, it's hard. The whole situation is so hard. Like, especially when he admittedly at the beginning of the show, like, you hear him talk about how he's always goes for like pretty girls, whatever. Like, he didn't have, it was this thing where it's like, he can't be like, oh, Amber is prettier than Lauren said, like, or LC. So like, that's why, you know, I'll go for Amber. It wasn't like a physical attractive thing, which is like how it is in real life, which is weird. But I mean, it just makes it a lot harder. So I don't blame him for, you know, putting us through that or anything, but he was just trying to make the best decision he could. I mean, it's a short amount of time, like getting engaged to these people you've never seen, like, it's hard.
So something that I'm curious about that I actually haven't asked you, which is interesting, is after seeing Barnett and Kenny play out, do you think that if they would have picked you, you would have gotten married to either one of them?
I don't know.
Right.
I really don't know. I can't. I mean, maybe, but I feel like we would have, at least if anything, maybe just maybe done like how you and Damien did and just
dated,
maybe continued dating after the show or something. But I really don't know. Like, I was definitely open to it if I was, you know, if I was feeling that it was the right thing to do. Like, I was obviously going to do it. But I don't know. It's hard to say because it didn't happen. So
when you mentioned the kind of Amber thing and the looks and that, does that make it harder? like of a rejection? Is that kind of what you were getting at, that it stings even more because they're kind of walking away from you, the person, versus you, the physical appearance?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. 100%. Like that was probably the hardest thing I had to deal with after the show. Like just being like, what's going on here? Like, what did I do wrong? What am I thinking? Like, it was just like a whole, I like spiraled after the show. I was just like trying to figure out like what was going on, and what I'm doing as a person, like to, I don't know. Cause it's not the first, like I said on the show, like this isn't like the first time this kind of thing's happened, but like maybe I can fall. I just didn't have anything else to fall back on. It wasn't like, oh, he's just more attracted to Amber. You know, it's just like genuinely as a person, like that I showed him at least, like, which I feel like I was more open in those, in the pods than I have been in any other. I mean, I opened up more to those guys in a few days than I did the guy I dated for almost 4 years. So it's like, you know, me as like my true authentic self, like still getting this rejection. So it's like, but you know, at the end of the day, I had to just kind of realize like, it wasn't for me, you know? And watching the show now and like being around Amber and Barnett in real life after too, like, and just watching it back now, like I totally get why he picked Amber 100%. But like at the time, obviously it's like a big, I guess almost like an ego blast or something. Like it's just like, okay, well, cool. This isn't like a normal rejection. This is like me at my core, like being my full authentic self, like still doesn't like it.
when he finally tells you that it's not going to happen, you know, you kind of have that moment of pause. Obviously you can see how emotionally affected you are, but then you kind of launch into a little bit of I would have never done this to you. How, you know, sort of thing. What did you mean by that? Like you felt like he should have cut you loose sooner, that he did lead you to believe that this was actually, like, what were you getting at there?
Well, he got, especially towards the end, but the whole time really, I realized he was doing this thing where he's like, when he's in the room, we're on the pod date, he's wants me. And then when he's in the pod date with Amber, he wants her. And like, he's telling us, like literally one of the last conversations I had with him was him telling me that he's like, you know, scared that he's like, oh, I feel so terrible. I'm going to have to go break it off with Amber. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm thinking like, you know, of course I'm leaving that date. Like, oh my God, it's me. You know, like I'm going to like, this can actually work. I'm like so excited. And then I see Amber come back from her pod date and she's like smiling and giddy too. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously he did not break up with her. So it was just one of those things where I was like, you didn't need to say those things. Like you could have just been like, he was pretty upfront about not being sure. Like he could have just kept being upfront about not being sure. He was basically making it like making me have confidence in our relationship and then making her have confidence in theirs, which is fine. But also it got really confusing.
Jessica.
And Jessica, yeah, too, for sure.
He's planning on having like a sister wives club or something.
I know. I'm like, this is not the right show for that.
So you until the date, like when you walked into that pod that day that he said, we're, you know, it's not going to happen, you assumed you were walking in and that maybe like a proposal was coming that day?
No. I kind of at that point, it was half me just kind of like talking myself down, really, like expecting the worst kind of thing. But also the other half was like me and Amber, we made like a deal, like not really, because at that point, especially towards the end, like when it came to that point, like it was really just down to me and Amber. Jess wasn't really part of it as much at that point. And so it was just one of those things where me and Amber had decided not to really talk to each other about it, which we were really respectful about. And then it just kind of came out like a little bit before that, like I just kind of overheard her talking about him, and she was saying all this stuff that he said to her, that he said the exact same stuff to me. And I was just like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I was so pissed. And it was just, it that kind of hurt a little bit. So I was already that, you know, just leading up to that pod, the last like pod date, I was just already really upset, and I had been crying like the whole day, and I was just like ready to just get in there. I didn't want to cry in there. Like, I was really like, he does not deserve this. I was like real pissed. And I honestly don't even remember what I said. Like, when I watched it back, I was like, okay, that was kind of cool.
I'm proud of her.
Yeah, like, go LC. Like, what? But I literally did not remember. Even, like, 15 minutes after when, like, my producer came in and was like, LC, what did you just say to him? Like, you made him cry. Everyone's clapping who's watching. Like, what just happened? And I was like, I have no idea what he said. But I think I was just so upset. I like had so much emotion like boiled up all day about this, and I just finally like got to let it loose, and I like blacked out almost.
one of the reasons why, I mean, not one of the reasons, it's the main reason why Jess became a bit of that villain was the way she decided to deal with that relationship. And it happened before they went to Mexico. It happened in the facility when she went up to Amber. And right. And she was like, hey, this guy's bad news, man. Or, you know, he told me he was going to marry me. And did you ever think about, because like you said, Amber's my girl. Like, did you ever think about right. saying, hey, you know, he said those exact same things to me and kind of outing him and what he was doing?
So I did not see that part. I wasn't there when that was happening. I was probably on a date at the time with Barnett. But I wasn't in there when that was happening, but I came in after and she was still kind of like upset and everything. And honestly, we didn't even know she was talking to Barnett because we don't know who we're talking to really, unless we like are out really talking about it, I guess. But I feel like she was a little bit more quiet about stuff like that, which is totally fine. But yeah, I think with her doing that, it was more like, I was just like, oh, I didn't even know why would you even like Barnett? but I guess I was more shocked about that. I just kind of, I didn't really know what to think about it at the time.
Yeah, I just meant, I didn't know if you, did you, you know, because she approached Amber and said, you know, don't do it. I didn't know if you ever thought about that, of saying that to Amber. And just like you said, you didn't know that he was saying those things to Amber.
No, I didn't know until basically the last second, like the last few hours leading up to it, like the last day before, it was like the night before maybe the engagement like happened or it didn't happen for us. So, yeah, no, I didn't know. And then once I knew, we did actually talk about it. Unfortunately, that part we actually didn't have. We didn't even have mics on at that point. Like, we were not recording. But I did talk to her about it, and she knew. And we both had the information we needed to, like, make the decision and stuff. And, yeah, I think it just came down to, like, I think they're a great couple. Like, that's – I feel like they found each other. Like, that's her person kind of thing.
What if it was reversed? Like, what if she had said that to you and you were the one, and then you were to go in and he was going to propose to you? How do you think you would have done?
I really don't. At the time, I was like, even if he does propose to me, I'm not going to say yes at this point. Like, I know that's just, but I don't know. Like, I can say that all day, but, you know, I probably would have still been, yeah, you know, I don't know, it would have been a different conversation for sure. It would not have just been like a happy crying yes. Like, I would have been like, okay, here are the stipulations. Like, if this is a thing, like, here's what's gonna, like, this can't, like, we're not doing this kind of stuff anymore. Like, this is not, like, moving forward, like, what's this gonna actually look like? Kind of, I would have had to maybe like spell it out a little bit more before I said yes. It wouldn't have been like a cute, crying, exciting proposal, I don't think.
Like, I want to say yes, but I need to tell you how this is going to go down.
Yeah, like, here's what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. yeah.
Are you happy
am I happy the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if anything, learned a lot about myself. I have changed so much, like, in that area of my life. Which is for the better, because I had a lot of stuff to work out, apparently, obviously, you know? Yeah, of course. And I mean, I just turned 28 too, and I was 26 at the time, and it's just such a big difference, I feel like, in that time, which is a short amount of time, but just in general. And I'm glad I had that experience to kind of be a jumping point, I guess, to kind of kickstart all of the changes I've kind of gone through. And obviously, I've met amazing people through it too. The guys and the girls, like, I'm really close with all, like, everybody. So I've met some of my best friends from the show. So
would you ever go back to the pods?
I actually think I would do so much better this time if I did it.
Really?
Yes. Just like being, I feel like a much stronger person, like more self-aware, like more confident person. And I think I would be more ready for the emotional toll that would take. I don't think I was ready for it at the time. I thought I was ready for sure. I wanted to be ready. I just don't think that I was. And now I for sure think that I would be a lot better in it.
All right, let's end on a nice light note here, LC. We like to play a game with all of you. It's called Love is Blind or Hard Pass. So I give you a list of things that you now discover about the person that you have connected with in this pod, and you have to say I'm good with it or no, not happening. And you only get one pass. All right, you just get one pass. All right.
Wait, like a deal breaker?
Like a deal breaker, exactly. Okay. Right. Here we go. Has dated one of your best friends.
Wait, are we talking about this is in the pods or in real life?
No, this is like the dude. You have now met the person you are supposed to spend the rest of your life with, and these are the things you're now learning.
Okay.
Has dated one of your best friends.
Love is blind.
Okay. How about smokes weed every day?
Love is blind.
Okay. refuses to cuddle.
Ooh, love is blind. Whatever.
Okay. Socially awkward.
I do too, but... in like a cute way.
You know what? He's just super awkward. Like it puts you in compromising positions all the time.
I don't know, G. How do you feel about that?
I was gonna say kind of like what Damien did. It's okay. You can teach it. He's not.
Wait, I can only have like one deal.
You only
breaker?
Get one pass, and I still got two more to go. So
okay, well, we could work on it. I don't know.
Okay.
love is blind.
Wants 10 kids.
Oh God, that might be my deal breaker.
Do right. you have no. to have them, or does he just
Are we
want
adopting?
To have them?
It just says. Well, I'm following producer's orders here. It just
wants
says wants 10
actually,
kids.
Actually, let's say love is blind. I love kids. Hopefully, he'll be rich because that's going to be expensive. All also,
right.
I won't be physically having 10 kids.
There you go. And then finally, how about swears all the time?
I mean, love is blind. I kind of cuss a lot too. So
wow.
We didn't get a single hard pass.
You have so many options, babe.
Okay. Well, now going back, I think the socially awkward one might be my hard pass.
That would be the hard pass.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's not easy.
whatever. Damien's cool.
He's great. He's great.
All right, LC. Thank you so much for joining us. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times.
So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
All right, G, you know her well. You think she's all right? You think she's good? She's moved past it?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think she's a better woman for it. Thank you, Barnett, for putting all these women through your ringer. I think you picked the right one, though.
Yeah, I think it's hard to remember that it's 18 months ago, and she kept saying that. You know, I was 26 then. I'm 28 now. I'm so much different. Do you feel that much different from what you were when you went in to where you are now?
Oh,
completely, huh?
Yes, I feel like a completely different person. Obviously, I'm still G, but I think I did a lot of growing, and these are life lessons that you have when, as you mature, as you get older. But with us, it was just a very condensed, boom, here it is, learn from it now.
Expedited.
Yeah, it was expedited. It was very condensed. So I think we all matured, you know, probably 5 years in just the course of a month and a half.
Well, here's the good news. As much as you've matured and as serious as you've become, we are going to drag it all the way down in the next episode because we are going to Sexico.
My favorite destination.
Yes, you guys arrived in Mexico and just people started having sex all over the place, except for Mark and Jessica.
Aww.
We're going to get to all that in the next episode. Subscribe and make sure you check for the updates. You can get that episode next.
Subscribe to Love Insight on iHeartRadio or however you get your podcasts.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one, or home to vibes like this and this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa,
and not to mention we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.